go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Minutes past the hour, and yes, we begin this Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Titanic Tuesday for the 7th day of April 2015. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Loud and clear on TuneIn. Much obliged. Titanic Tuesday, the first Titanic Tuesday of April, the first Titanic Tuesday of the month of April. Three more yet remain. Yes, indeed. You know, of course, that Titanic Tuesday is named for something that happened a few years back over on the 962nd tier right-wing talk radio program in America's fifth smallest radio market or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, 962nd tier right-wing babbler answering a question from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing faithful to the extent of, Steve! Why is it, do you reckon, they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't got a beach nowhere in sight. Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Makes me smile every time I get to tell that story. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic ladyfinger molds. No. But as it is, Titanic Tuesday is reserved for those moments of Titanic wit and wisdom, not so much, that attends the right wing here in Merca. And you know what? I got a feeling we're going to have no small number of Titanics. Titanic intellects to celebrate. But, you know, here's what's interesting. Generally speaking, oh, by the way, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, welcome to the chat room, Anatole and Jeremy and Ron and Texas T, capably moderated at the moment by Man Cave. Come on by if you'd like. We have a whopping whale of a good time. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, the Contribute tab, that has the PayPal interface. We, of course, keep all of this going by virtue of the ongoing miracle that is the determination of the Horn Family Commune Congregation, a.k.a. the Horndonistas, to keep this thing rolling. And I want to thank Nancy for getting us started this evening. Thank you very kindly, Nancy. We need to raise $125 this evening to keep all the plates spinning in the air. Paid $250 in bills this week and got about another $600 to go. So hopefully, you know, we'll keep on the pace. $125, 12 and a half people at 10, 10 people at 1250. Yeah, 20 people at 6 1/4. It gets complicated after that, but we're trying to raise $125. Thank you very kindly for your matching challenge yesterday evening, Ron, and thank you for matching it, Kelly, and thank you, Labor Man, Gary, for getting us started yesterday with a Have a More End Monday on me. So, yeah, run over to the Contribute tab. Don't worry so much about some of those more invasive, nosy questions in the fields there about your mother's girdle size or any of that. No. It's all about just getting to the next screen. Just get to the next screen, and you can do whatever you want to do with credit cards, PayPal, what have you. If you prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service, that address is The Horn, checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, as Boss Man Wayne handles the mailbox and the echo chamber and the spider-proof gloves and all of that. The address is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, BECKLEYWV, 25801. And having said that, hopefully I won't have to, I won't say anything more, and we'll just raise up $125 and be done for the evening, which would be, in fact, wonderful. All at once or a little bit at a time, fine by me. But thank you to all of you who keep all of this going. Like I said, Titanic Tuesday is generally reserved for the Titanic intellect of the right wing. But today, I think it is appropriate to at least make time for a mention, or at least a Titanic nomination, for our side. Now, granted, there's been a Congress stopping everything along the way, everything they possibly could, going all the way back to when Jim Demented and a bunch of others held a little meeting the day after the inauguration and said that they were going to stop that one in their White House from doing anything presidential. But I don't know if you've... I presume, since we're all kind of news junkies around here, that we follow stuff that happens through the course of the day. One of which, fairly early on, was news that Washington, D.C. was under a blackout, or significant chunks of Washington, D.C. was without power. Well, it turned out, and I'm not entirely sure which story is the most accurate. One story I saw said that some 8,000 people were out of power in Washington, D.C. as a result of a normal process. Huh? What? It's a normal process that, well, okay. But then another news story that I read from a wire service said that a power station of some sort had exploded, or there had been an explosion at a power plant in Maryland. No word, of course, on whether that power plant was coal-fired or natural gas-fired. Here's a hint. Here's why the nomination, really, when you get right down to it. Here's what it wasn't. It wasn't a solar power station. It was not a wind generation station. It was not a geothermal station. It was not a hydroelectric station, but instead something that was run by hydrocarbons. And as a result, the White House was without power. So, too, were parts of the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Yes, really, not kidding. Now, granted... It's not like the White House and the Capitol are run on the ancient, antiquated, toxic, rickety, wobbling old coal-fired grid that, say, we run on here in Appalachistan. But it was still, you know, a dumb grid. And yes, the White House and the Capitol have generators, and the generators are kicked on, and hint, the generators also are not run on anything of a perpetual nature like wind or solar. No, they're run on more hydrocarbons, more than likely diesel. And diesel goes in a tank, and the tank goes from full to empty over time. And, well, yeah, so how about a little nomination for, and of course we can always include the Repiglicans in this, as our buddy Dennis in Kentucky pointed out, it was, of course, Ronnie Reagan, that greasy-headed old B-movie actor who even while he had his finger on the nuclear trigger, had a brain that was rapidly deteriorating, probably during the entirety of his presidency, although the Repiglicans won't really admit that. But we do know that in his second term, he was barely home at all. Alzheimer's is a horror. If you have ever been through it, you know. If you've ever had a family member who suffered from it, you know what a horror it is. Well, that horror was multiplied because this country was just, well, you know, wobbling along toward the cliff with America's grandfather, Uncle Ronnie, with his brain disappearing. I mean, how long was it after he left office that they finally admitted that he had Alzheimer's? Yeah. Well, this isn't a discussion about Alzheimer's. But it is a discussion about the fact that when he took office, you know, after the October surprise, after all the skullduggery, and sometime along about the same time that we were swapping arms for hostages with the Iranians, we don't negotiate with terrorists, Mommy. Right? Well, that's when they had the solar panels that Jimmy Carter had put on the roof of the White House, which were largely symbolic, I admit. Had them taken down because those solar panels were as offensive to the oil industry as, say, a great big pentagram of power would have been to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Not to equate pentagrams and solar panels, I would say it's more like, if you want to talk about some sort of dark, malevolent, evil forces, pentagram equals hydrocarbon industry. Anyway, so the solar panels were taken down, and at one point in time, early in the first term of the Obama presidency, I believe it was Bill McKibben, was it not, who actually investigated and went and found Jimmy Carter's solar panels. And I tell you what, the Obama administration couldn't stay away from Bill McKibben fast enough. Oh, no. I tell you, you found Jimmy Carter's solar panel. Well, that's just wonderful. Why don't you give them to my undersecretary of solar panels, best friend's neighbor's cousin's aunt? She lives about 1,000,000 miles from Washington, D.C., and if you get started right now, Bill, you might get them to her by sometime around 2025. Sound good? Good. Bye now. Ah, thank you, Sparky, in his incarnation as Man Cave, reminding me that Jimmy Carter's solar panels heated water. Nice. Regardless, solar panels are a good thing. And, just saying, you reckon the technology exists to set up a backup solar system, solar power system, for the White House? Now, I know we can't have one at the Capitol because that's run by the legislative branch, which is presently deeply in the clutches of a group of psychopaths, you know, the Republicans, who think that solar panels equals not loving Jesus enough. But maybe the White House? I mean, President Obama has a new initiative out where he wants to retrain a lot of veterans to work in the solar industry because the solar industry is the industry of the future. Wait. Future. You think a light will go on? Me neither. Man Cave telling me the White House does have solar panels now. He didn't have enough solar panels to, apparently not, because power went out. Yeah. At least one briefing was done in the dark. So, little nomination. And by the way, Kathy in the chat room pointing out, I worked at a power company for many years. Any power station being taken down in the middle of the day on a Tuesday does not happen, all caps, does not happen, ever, never. So, just a little nomination along those lines. I mean, we could be the country that fully invents the smart grid and provides the technology to the rest of the world. Oh, wait, has somebody already invented that first?
Damn.
You'd almost think that having a fully functioning solar backup system with all the batteries and everything and maybe a couple of wind turbines there on the White House grounds, I mean, they don't be big ones, but you'd almost think that would qualify as a national security precaution. No, of course not. We want to rely on finite and finite and toxically derived hydrocarbons because freedom. Mm-hmm. So just a little reminder that we can always do a little better, can't we? Yes, we can. See what I did there? I know. Y'all don't miss much. So we've got that. Another thing, and this is, I almost hate to bring it up because I know everybody in their cousin has been talking about this all day, but I just want to point out one thing. You know that Rand Paul, libertarian, self-certified ophthalmologist, I'm rich, I'm comfortably well off, I'm socially secure. Here we are, Pismo Beach, and all the clams we can eat. They're mine, 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 I tell you, mine, it's all mine. I may be a greedy coward, I may be a coward, but I'm a greedy coward, right? Rand Paul, otherwise known as America's right-wing answer to Daffy Duck, announced his presidential candidacy today, and it was absolutely loaded with right-wing pablum, American exceptional hogwash. Somewhere along the way, he said, I'm running for president so that America's liberty lovers can blah, 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 which made me stop and think, wait a minute, does that mean I don't love liberty? Sit, liberty, sit! Does that mean, I mean, really? Because I'm not walking around with a bunch of chains on me like Marley's ghost or anything. I'm not just swinging in my hammock of government dependency. I mean, granted, I do get to go to the doctor when I'm sick, but somehow or another, I don't feel like that limits my freedom. I feel like that expands my freedom to, you know, maybe be alive a little bit longer, hopefully. Cross your fingers. Knock wood. Yeah. Hey. But Rand Paul is the only presidential candidate who is running for people who love liberty. I'll be dipped. But he made his announcement in Louisville, Kentucky. Sorry, Corey. And I don't know. I caught Rachel last night. She said something about it was being done in the Galt Ballroom. Really? Like in Atlas Shrugged? Oh, dear. That's the kind of fun little details that Rachel catches and makes her such a joy to watch. But no, there was all kinds of right-wing libertarian lunatic pablum in his speech. But then there was this. And it sounds like he should be really older and crankier, because this almost begs the cranky old man voice. But instead, you know, he's got that kind of high-pitched, reedy, whiny voice to him. From the time I was a very young boy, I was taught to love and appreciate America. Love of liberty
pulses in my veins.
Don't want to see that.
Not because we have beautiful mountains or white sand beaches, although we do, and not because of our abundance of resources.
Got to get a plug in there for the boys that are going to fund you, right? Right, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on your head?
It's more visceral than that. Our great nation was founded upon the extraordinary notion that government should be restrained and freedom should be maximized. I said, freedom should be maximized. America to me is that beacon. We are unique among the nations that our country stands for. Freedom! Freedom nurtured our country from a rebellious group of colonies into the world's greatest nation.
You know the part that got me about that? That part about how the love of liberty pulses in my veins, not because we have beautiful mountains or white sand beaches, although we do. Hey, that's kind of funny. Because it wasn't too awfully long back, a couple or three years ago, when somebody actually asked Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, about mountaintop removal. Yeah, you know, I'm sensitive to this kind of thing.
We have beautiful mountains.
Well, when someone, and I can't remember who it was, honestly, but I know it was done, asked Rand Paul and that thing on his head about mountaintop removal, which involves blowing up some of those beautiful mountains.
We have so many beautiful mountains, it's not like we can't do without a few in the name of corporate profits.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, when they asked Rand Paul about mountaintop removal in eastern Kentucky, he said,
"I don't think that anybody's gonna miss a few hills there in particular. I mean, nobody's gonna miss a few mountains."
Really? So he confirms the fact that his love of liberty, his love of liberty doesn't stem from the fact that we have beautiful mountains, because he doesn't care if we blow every last one of the ones in central Appalachia to kingdom come, long as there's a corporate profit to be had. Of course, that begs the question of just exactly how successful these corporations are. Alpha Natural Resources is hovering somewhere around $1 a share. Down from $77 a share or thereabouts, I think. Uh-huh. And yet, somebody's still loaning them money. It's not your fault, fellas. I mean, the Obama war on coal. See how it goes? No, we'd still be worth $77 a share if it wasn't for the war on coal. I mean, can we have a loan? Just need to borrow it for... I mean, I swear we won't go bankrupt or nothing. Okay? Beautiful mountains and white sand beaches. You know where I think of when I think of white sand beaches, and I'm not disparaging anybody else's beaches, but like beaches along the Atlantic coastline are kind of yellow and tan and gravelly. Oh, but when you get to the Gulf Coast, from about Fort Walton over across Panama City to Gulf Shores, those beaches are as white as cane sugar. Beautiful places. You know, until the Deepwater Horizon disaster, the BP disaster, sent a bunch of tar balls rolling up and various and sundry forms of hydrocarbon goo. Yeah. Who was it that sent me a note last night saying, you know, I don't see you so many of those, come on down to the Gulf and eat some seven-eyed shrimp ads anymore. No, they're still out there. And the Gulf is still poisoned. And, well, you know, hey, if your oysters have eyes, evolution, baby! So, love of liberty comes from blowing up mountains, at least if I understand Rand Paul and that thing on his head correctly. What's interesting, however, is that according to Vox today, well, because he keeps producing his own budgets, Rand Paul and that thing on his head actually have put in writing the things that they think should be done to, I mean, for America. Vox notes that he's the only candidate in the race. Of course, there's only two in the race at the moment. He's put out three separate budgets, all of his own, that were so weird even the Republicans wouldn't sign on to them. 2012, 2013, and 2014. It's too early to get his 2015 budget out, I guess. Oh, my. A dinner of frozen sheep eyes. Yum, yum. Under tooled leather. Mmm. Pass, thanks. Here's a little vision of that liberty that Rand Paul and that thing on his head envision for America. Kind of makes Newt Gingrich, Professor Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, kind of makes his contract on America look like some sort of liberal commie plot. First and foremost, Rand Paul and that thing on his head. They want themselves a flat tax. They want to get rid of the personal income tax with a 17% flat tax, which of course will hit the working class like a ton of bricks. And the 1%, well, they won't even feel it. Now, he would repeal the estate and gift taxes, individual capital gain and dividend taxes, alternative minimum tax. Oh, okay, that was Jeremy talking about the BP. Okay, thank you, Jeremy, for reminding me. Not yet. Thank you, Jeremy. Let's see, so he wants a flat tax. That'll be fun. Then he wants to, among other things, according to this Vox article, he wants to cut the Centers for Disease Control budget by 20% because of its furniture. The center is often mentioned in media reports highlighting their lavish accommodations, says the Ron Paul budget for 2012, 2013, and kind of 2014. For example, in 2005, the CDC built a conference center for $106 million, complete with large-screen plasma TVs. They also spent tens of millions of dollars on state-of-the-art anti-gravity seating for employees. As well as luxury furniture. I don't know, I'd say, really, you've got to say that twice, luxury furniture and anti-gravity seating? I'm thinking if you've got anti-grav furniture, it's going to qualify as luxury. I mean, if you can't get it down to the Wally World or your local Furniture Mart, and I'm pretty sure anti-grav chairs aren't there yet. Taxpayers can no longer afford the luxury working atmosphere of the CDC. He wants to cut the National Institutes of Health budget by 20%. He wants to cut the Food and Drug Administration budget by 20%. Because the FDA, and you're going to love this, get the hockey puck real quick. You can spit it right back out. Wants to cut the FDA by 20% because new FDA powers granted by the recent Food Safety Modernization Act grant the government further intrusion into the nation's food supply. Funny. The last time we had a big outbreak of poo in peanut butter, you know, E. coli, I don't think that's because we were over-inspecting the nation's peanut butter supply chain. Or how about the killer caramel apples of a few months back? Big government? Really? Well, yeah, just sitting back there in their anti-grav chairs, I guess. He wants to cut NASA by 25% with the presence of private industries involved in space exploration and space tourism. It is time for NASA to look at ways to reduce spending. Because science is dumb. Let's see. Cut the U.S. Geological Survey by 20%. Although these are important activities, they can be given to state researchers at our colleges and universities. Guess who it was that collected the dust from mountaintop removal sites that was then shown to be involved in the growth of tumorous processes in lung tissue? Yet, U.S. Geological Survey, we don't need them to be doing that kind of... They don't need to be doing that kind of anti-liberty research. Why can't they do more research that shows us where more coal is, there is no Bureau of Reclamation. Owning a majority block of energy and water resources is not the business of the federal government. Bureau of Indian Affairs gets eliminated. National Parks budget gets cut by 30%. Return these public lands back to the states and or the private sector. It would allow an increase in quality, safety, and a reduction of government spending each year. Indian Health Services gets cut by 20%. With that, they say, the Indian Health Service is notoriously wrought with fraud. Well, why not cure the fraud instead? Because gutting the Indian Health Services, isn't that an idea along the same lines of applying, decapitation for bunions? Yes, it is. National Science Foundation takes a 62% cut in the Rand Paul World State Department. Oh, this is fun. The State Department gets cut by 71%. Department of the Interior gets 78% hacked out of it. The Department of Energy just gets eliminated, except for the nuclear programs, and the Defense Department gets those. General Services Administration, 85% cut. I imagine Jim, former government employee that he is, and other government employees within the Horn Family Commune congregation, are sitting there just, what? Yeah, really. Transportation Department, cut, 49%. Department of Agriculture, cut, 49%. Department of Health and Human Services, cut 26%. Justice Department, 28% cut. You know, just the part that deals with those Negro rights, because that violates libertarian principles, right? And the Environmental Protection Agency gets cut 29%. Here's the question I want to ask the libertarians. Why so little? Because, see, they hate government. They despise the very notion of government. Why stop at 20, 25? No. The GSA. Anybody know what the GSA does? I know you do. 85% cut in the GSA. Because, you know, we don't really need what they do in America, because we're exceptional. We're just getting started. Section 8 housing vouchers and K-12 education funding get eliminated. Section 8 housing vouchers provide housing for people who are who can't afford free market capitalist, God bless American exceptionalism, home prices or rent prices. It just gets cut. It's gone. He's a big fan of, in fact, he's such a fan, he introduced it in the Senate, the Cut Federal Spending Act of 2011. All Department of Education programs are defunded, effective on the date of enactment of this act, except for the Pell Grant program, which will be capped at $16,256,000,000, and all accounts and programs of the Department of Housing and Urban Development are defunded, effective on the date of the enactment of this act. This guy says he's running for president. He's running for president as an allegedly serious intellectual member of one of the two major parties in this country, which is kind of terrifying when you think about it, insofar as this is the kind of stuff that used to get espoused by the people who had to hold their political meetings in the spare rooms in the back of dry cleaning establishments. Where they would get really, really high on the cleaning fluid fumes and talk about how the Department of Education is going to make commies out of all of us. Then, of course, there's also the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit. And in 2013, Rand Paul said, it's got to go. Eliminate it. And by the way, here's a fun one. Oh, AIPAC's going to love this one. He wants to completely eliminate all federal foreign aid, including the 5% of the entire federal aid budget that goes to Israel. Mm-hmm. Well, he started to rethink it a little bit. Now he wants to cut it dramatically. And he wants to do a little defense spending cutting. And the next thing you know, well, I've been waiting all day to find out if Ralph Nader had come out to tell America's progressives that this is the presidential candidate they can get behind. Because, of course, he's already said that. Yeah. You might find it interesting, and again, these are not radical fringe notions. This is the dystopian nightmare vision of America that the GOP masturbates over every freaking night. Sometimes in the morning and twice in the afternoon, you know, whenever the opportunity arises. Witness Kansas stand. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, I will just about bet that the marvelously coherent Diane is about to start screaming. No, Diane doesn't scream. But, I mean, this is real. The legislature of Kansas stand. Well, I haven't seen an update, but the legislature of Kansastan has passed in both houses and sent to the desk of Governor Sam Brownback a bill that would forbid welfare recipients from withdrawing more than $25 per day from their benefits. Because, you know, we don't just give away money anymore. I mean, please. They get a little electronic debit card that is then, you know, we pay horse gagging loads of money to some financial institution to manage it, which of course is part of the budget for all of that. So that means there's less people getting less money. And these are all administered through the states. We're talking about temporary assistance for needy families, otherwise known as TANF. And because the legislature of Bleeding Kansas, and boy is it going to bleed if this gets signed into law. This legislation prevents anyone receiving TANF from being able to withdraw more than $25 a day from ATMs. Now, bear in mind that the ATMs also charge you anywhere from $2 to $5 generally for any given withdrawal. So if you know you're going to need money, you want to withdraw the maximum amount to get the biggest bang for your fee. So this works to the benefit of the ATM people, of course. When criticized about it, one proponent of the bill, a Republican, of course, said, well, they can use it at a bank counter. Not unless you have an account at the bank. Mm-hmm. 17 million Americans of legal age don't have bank accounts. At least 17 million. So what kind of a hell on earth does this create for somebody? Well, don't worry, if Rand Paul gets elected president, you won't have to worry about that housing you're enjoying with your Section 8 voucher, because that's just going to go away, according to Rand Paul and that malevolent thing on his head. I'm beginning to think that thing on Rand Paul's head is a really, really hateful critter. I don't know if it grew up through his skull or if it just landed from outer space and attached it. Nobody's really gotten close enough to him to find out. But if you've got rent to pay, let's see. You'd have to go to the ATM 4 days in a row to get $100. So that would be 8 days in a row to get $200. So that would be 16 days in a row to get $400 for your rent. And so we're at a half a month. Then you're going to have to go 4 days in a row. That's 20 days to maybe get your power bill. And probably another four. We're up to 24 days to get your phone bill. And granted, you're poor and you probably don't have any business watching any television there from your dependency hammock, but that's probably another 4 days. We're at 28 days now. The month is freaking gone, and you haven't been able to go to the ATM to get any money for food. And, of course, that's also 28 times, call it $3. 3 times 8, 24, 3 times 2, 6. So that's $84 in ATM fees while we're at it. And then it gets specific. And, of course, this will cost more money in administration costs from the kindly financial institutions that are doing all the administering in the first place, because they're going to have to make sure that the cards, the electronic funds transfer cards, don't work in certain places, because the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians who run the Kansas legislature want to make sure that no one receiving TANF can ever use an ATM at a movie theater. You also can't use a TANF electronic card at a nail salon, at a pool, a spa, a liquor store, a jewelry store, a casino, a racing facility, a tattoo or piercing parlor, on cruise ships and other locations. Because, of course, everybody knows that goddamn Topeka is a real hot spot for embarkation and debarkation from effing cruises. Jesus God, these hateful people. And by the way, it may take you 28 days of going to the ATM $25 at a time to take care of your rent, and I was presuming $400 in rent. What kind of a cardboard box do you get in Kansas for $400 a month? But I was presuming $400 in rent and $100 for the phone and $100 for the power and $100 for the cable. Right? Well, that's in a month. Well, don't worry, poor of Kansas Stan. You won't have that to worry about for too very long, because you're only going to get to do that for 36 months. No, really. According to this bill, which as we speak sits on the desk of the governor of Kansas, Stan, after 36 months, you would have exhausted, you poors in Kansas, you'd have worn out your welcome. And you would not be able to draw TANF anymore. You would have to get up out of your dependency hammock. Oh, wait, there's a loophole. If, after month 36, you can prove that you've had a legitimate sexual assault, you can get 12 more months of TANF benefits. 4 whole years. But then your raped ass is going to have to get out of your dependency rape hammock and then go and get you some work in exceptional America. Makes you feel all patriotic, doesn't it? I know. Me too. I mean, there you are. You're about to run out of your 36 months of TANF benefits. So, being wily and poor, you go out and get yourself raped to get 12 more months. Well, welfare people don't work. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Yeah, get rid of them too. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. Oh, give them a chance. Give them a chance, Lee Greenwood. Give the... Oh, God almighty. Don't you sell that Kansas legislature short. Because I got a feeling when they've taken away every last little scrap of money that you've got to keep a roof over your head or stay warm in winter or not get burned up in the blazing Kansas summer, the freedom you got left ain't going to be much. Yeah, but we still got a flag! Oh, by the way, if you've got 2 felonies on your rap sheet, no TANF for you. And they've got them a drug testing program since 2014 in Kansas, Stan. It cost the taxpayers of Kansas $40,000. So far, it has yielded 11 positive drug test results out of 2,783 people tested. Michael O'Donnell, a Republican in Kansas, a state senator, said, "We just want to make sure, we want to go back to the T and make sure this is temporary. You know, it's temporary assistance to needy families. That's why it's not PANF, it's TANF. It ain't permanent assistance." What happens? And of course, the genesis of all this we have to thank Bill Clinton for. Because he's the one who signed welfare reform into law. What was it, 1995? Thanks, Bill! All this comes in Kansas after they've kicked 20,000 people off of their food stamp rolls. Yeah. Meanwhile, and I know this will just... make News Ninja Carol Baker giggle with delight. Meanwhile, the legislature meeting over in Jefferson City, Missouri, Stan, Well, they've got the same idea, only different. They're upset there in the Missouri Stand Legislature. They're upset about what people buy with their food stamp money. Mm-hmm. Because you just, you can't trust them pores. Those pores will do. I mean, we know, for instance, that 1st Congressional District of Texas Stand legislator, member of Congress, oh my God, Louis Asparagus Gohmert, he's wrought, downright wrought, about all of those pores buying up all the Alaskan king crab legs down to the HEB in the 1st District of Texas Stand. Well, not to be outdone, the Missouri legislature wants to make sure that the pores are only eating poor food. House Bill 813, this is not a freaking joke. This did not come from the Onion. It is a couple of weeks old. I don't know what its present status is. 930,000 people receive electronic benefits, EBT, in the state of Missouri, Stan. And House Bill 813 would make sure that the pores are only eat food that is appropriate for pores to eat. Since Easter just this past Sunday, you know how Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, you know how he did that whole miracle thing with the loaves and fishes? Well, that's fine for him, but not for people on the damn food stamps. Because Missouri House Bill 813 bans people in Missouri Stan who are receiving electronic benefits for food purchases from ever using food stamp monies. We still call them food stamps, but it's not. Ever using food stamp monies to buy any seafood. Mm-hmm. Not even the crummiest can of tuna. Sorry, that's seafood. No shrimp, damn sure no Alaskan king crab legs. Still no word on how you're going to eat Alaskan king crab legs on a dollar a day in food stamps, but we'll take it as read. Yeah. Oh, by the way, so you can't eat, and tuna's a nice low-fat, high-protein kind of, right? No tuna fish sandwiches for y'all. No tuna salad. Mm-mm. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's economical. God damn it, the Republicans in Missouri Stan are sick and tired of seeing food stamp people filling up their buggies with seafood. And so maybe you're not eating so much. Maybe you just need a little something to give you a little energy boost to get you over the hump through the day. Nope. It also included in a House Bill 813, a ban on the purchase of energy drinks with EBT funds, SNAP funds, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. And you know what? Don't be planning on having a Coke and a smile either, because it also bans the purchase of pop. And no potato chips for you either, you poors. And no cookies for you poors. You want to give your children a treat? Give them a bean! Give them an uncooked grain of rice to gnaw on. Let them hold it in their mouth till their saliva it rehydrates it and expands it until they can chew it up with their rickety little teeth and swallow it. And while we're at it, you damn poors in Missouri, best not be getting all uppity thinking you're going to buy any steak with your SNAP benefits too, because that's banned as well. Because this is a bill that was introduced by Republicans, and by God, they've got some traditional family freaking values, and that does not include poor people eating tuna and steak. You want to eat meat, you go out back to the dumpster and see if you can't get you some guts or something. Not a joke. And this crap stands up in court. Because Missouri Stan did what Kansas is trying to do, and you can't use your SNAP benefits card at no strip club ATM to run out and buy a tuna sandwich for a stripper. We're not taking a chicken to the doctor either, damn it. And you can't gamble for dinner at a casino neither. Damn, poor's going to casinos and strip joints and only God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians is supposed to be in casinos and strip joints. Oh, I forgot. Hey, you're absolutely Jack in Shreveport pointing out that I forgot about some of the extra costs. I was just counting up the ATM fees in Kansas, Stan, and the $25 a day limit. And Jack in Shreveport points up, make sure to include the money and time for the bus to get to the ATM store, etc., or the walking time, regardless of weather. Yeah, them 28 days gathering up the rent and the power bill and everything, 25 bucks at a time in Kansas, that's going to suck a lot in the winter. Or maybe in spring tornado season. Hey, honey, shouldn't you take shelter? Can't. Got to get to the ATM. Can't miss a day. And meanwhile, people are still supposed to look for work. Well, that is a job. Ah, Jack sorted it out. Those extra 12 months you can get in Kansas if you go and get yourself legitimately raped? That extra 12 months, says Jack, of aid for getting raped is just enough to get that fetus out so that both mother and baby can maximize their freedom after the forced pregnancy and starve together. Ron and Raleigh, I've got a Bob, Bob, Bob here. Bob, 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 it seems from your tone that you just want these Negro poor people to relax in that hammock, living off the hard labor of the hardworking hardworking people. Yeah. Ron's trying to put the best face on this possible. With some of the shit they call steak these days, flank steak, skirt steak, shoulder steak, can't make a damn fajita out of this crap. So it's not like we're going to be missing much. Marty notes, then there's the radiation and mercury that the food stamp people won't be getting. What? No energy drinks? Radiation's energy. Wow. So that's just a little taste of the libertarian wonderland that is taking. It's not the future. The future is now. Because the libertarian wonderland is getting aborned in places like Kansas Stan and Missouri Stan. In capitals like Topeka Bad and Jefferson and Jeffersonabad. So we'll wrap up the filibobster with that and open the phone lines. You know, I trust the numbers 304-663-4676. That's the Gizmo Mod line, 304-663-HORN, or the other number that we used to call the Skype line, but seemed to be confusing to people when I would call it that, so we just call it Harold now, and it's 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And you can dial either one of them and be part of the conversation if you would like, or I'll just filibobster some more. And, of course, if you want to reach out Skype to Skype, well, that's Bob Kincaid Horn. If you've never tried that before, it's quite easy, and all you have to do is send me a contact request on Skype. I'll answer it and approve it. And if you would be so kind on one of those, just say, hey, it's so-and-so from so-and-so, and I'm a Horn listener, because every now and then I get these calls or I get these contact requests on Skype from people who say, hi, dear, I see that I am wanting to thinking maybe I am your friend. Then I have to go, hi, are you a Horn listener? And I never hear from them, and I ban them. It's just time-consuming. Right. So we'll take a little break. We are still at $125 to go on fundraising for the evening. Thank you again to Nancy for getting us started earlier in the day. It would be $150 otherwise. $125 to go, and any way you want to do it is fine by me. And that's how we keep all of this going, plain and simple. So we'll take a little break, and we've got the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen on the way. Enjoy that by all means. I always do. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tuesday, April 7, 2015.
We should not be aligned with such people. They're just literally lying.
Right-wing corporate activist group now pretending it never denied global warming. Kansas moves to restrict fracking after stunning increase in earthquakes. Big Oil pressured Oklahoma to stop linking fracking and earthquakes. Texas moves to ban fracking bans, plus...
The solar industry is actually adding jobs 10 times faster than the rest of the economy.
Obama moves to train veterans for solar power jobs.
All of that moving and fracking straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You know, when it comes to, you know, climate change being real, the problem is Al Gore's turned this thing into a religion.
Oh, so now you're blaming it all on Al Gore. Is that right, Senator Lindsey Graham? Sounds like a very inconvenient lie to me. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, after a comedy of errors up in the Arctic about 2 years ago, I think summer of 2012,
yep.
When Shell Oil was trying to get an oil rig up to the Arctic to drill for oil up there, which because it's now unfrozen thanks to global warming, they ran aground. It was just a disaster. They then took 2 summers off. But now they're back at it again. And so now the war in the Arctic is back on, it seems.
Yes, yes, it is. The Obama administration has approved for Shell to go back to the Arctic and drill for oil. But now, as we go to air, 6 Greenpeace activists have climbed aboard one of those Shell oil rigs in the Pacific Ocean. It's on its way to the Arctic. They're trying to alert the public that Shell is again heading up to drill in the fragile extremes of the Arctic Ocean.
Yes, alerting the public. Accomplished. Well done, Greenpeace. We'll be watching that situation closely, and if Shell can keep its rigs from running aground as it did last time they tried this.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous up there.
Yeah, dangerous and risks an extraordinary amount of wildlife if things go bad. Anyway, what else do you have for us today?
Well, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the right-wing policy organization known as ALEC for short, is now threatening legal action against big environmental groups like Common Cause and the League of Conservation Voters for saying that ALEC denies climate change.
But they do deny climate change.
I know. Attorneys for ALEC are threatening legal action if the organizations don't remove any material suggesting that ALEC doesn't believe in global warming. This despite the fact that model legislation is still on ALEC's website telling state legislatures that the science is uncertain on human-caused climate change and that climate change could be beneficial.
So is the distinction they're trying to draw here that, oh, we believe in climate change, but man has nothing to do with it. Is that the distinction they're trying to draw in the middle of their lie?
That does seem to be the way that they're going to play this.
Good luck with that, ALEC.
In fracking news, in Kansas, state oil and gas regulators have moved to sharply restrict the fracking industry's use of wastewater injection wells to dispose of toxic fracking fluid after a stunning increase in earthquakes. Kansas saw 4 times more earthquakes in 1 year than it had in the previous 20 years combined. State regulators cited, quote, an immediate danger to public safety in severely restricting the use of injection wells. But it's the opposite situation for residents of Oklahoma, which has now surpassed California as the earthquake capital of the U.S.
That's amazing to me. Can you just repeat that?
Oklahoma has surpassed California as the earthquake capital of the U.S.
Unbelievable.
Because of fracking. Emails obtained in public records requests by Bloomberg News show that scientists with the Oklahoma Geological Survey backed off or declined to link fracking to earthquakes in their studies after frequent meetings with powerful oil CEOs and state politicians.
So the oil and fracking companies came in and said, hey, don't tie this to earthquakes, even though it's tied to earthquakes.
That's pretty much what happened, yes.
And the state of Oklahoma did it?
Yes, they did.
Unbelievable.
Meanwhile, in Texas, state lawmakers are moving quickly to ban cities and towns from banning fracking within their borders. After voters in Denton, North Texas, voted to ban fracking within city limits in last year's election, Texas Republican lawmakers are now fast-tracking a bill to preempt local control that seeks to exercise some control over fracking operations.
Will that affect Denton, Texas, who has already passed a ban?
Yes, it looks like it will.
They'll be able to retroactively unban it.
That's what it looks like. Finally, some good news.
I'm announcing a new goal to train 75,000 workers to enter the solar industry by 2020.
On Friday, President Obama launched a new jobs training program with new funding to help train U.S. veterans for jobs in solar.
It's going to train transitioning military personnel for careers in this growing industry.
There's an idea. The folks who have been putting their life on the line for oil, put them instead up on a roof, safely installing solar. I like it.
Yep, no earthquakes necessary.
For much more on that story and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebook and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You just have to wish to make it so. Let's go up on the roof.
Up on the roof.
Oh, devoutly to be wished. A solarized, perpetually energized America. We might just be too exceptional for that, though. Let's run over to the Skype line, where News Ninja Carol Baker is standing by. Hey, Carol.
You bellered.
I bellered.
I heard my name.
Well,
not exactly used in vain. But...
No, I was conjuring. I admit it.
Yeah, I read those stories. You know, I think about the only thing they hate more than them slut women's here in Missouri is the poors.
And then there's the subsection of the black poor, the blah poors, which they just...
The wrong coloreds.
Yeah, right.
If you will.
And they really hate some real good.
They do hate some real good. Yeah, I read that story. Humiliate the poors some more.
The part that just sent me running out into the yard tearing at my clothing was the part about how you can get yourself an extra 12 months of benefits if you can just get raped real good.
I guess it's going to be a whole new section in Craigslist.
Jesus, God.
Need my SNAP benefits. Looking for a rapist. Call Cindy Lou.
Do you not rape real hard? Well, we'll split benefits for easy rape.
Because a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. Yeah, I went and checked on the bill. It was put up in February, and they've added, Bratton's just added this language onto there, and it hasn't been acted upon in any way yet. But, you know, here in the Show Me State, we're a cold can of beans. Kind of attitude here towards the poors, you know.
Well, so here's the fun part. Apparently, what engendered all of this was a video of somebody saying, "I just went out and got me some steak with my SNAP card. Ooh-wee, free food." And
that video has been going around for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, it has, Carol, but here's my question, just because of the way my sad little mind works. Doesn't that sound like a James O'Keefe operation?
It very much does.
Or somebody, working that side of the street?
It very much does.
I mean, that thing has been going around for a while. Did anybody ever go and try to verify this person's reality?
Not that I know of, because, you know, you don't actually have to prove it. You just have to say it.
Yeah, kind of like welfare people driving Cadillacs.
With their solid gold Obama phones and their solid gold Obama gas cards. And
yeah. Yeah.
I wanted a pony, didn't get one.
But again, I'm not, and I'm sure you're not, shocked by any of this. This is behavior according to type for the right wing in this country.
Well, yeah.
But how many people do you think understand, Carol, that, as I noted, the future is now? These aren't one-offs. These are two states that share a border. These are two states in the so-called heartland. Other states have done similar things. And, well, I guess one of the poors just generally don't get up and go protest anywhere, do they?
Well, they, it's not exactly like out here there's a bus you can hop on to the protest. This is a pretty, you know, that is the thing about living in rural areas, is that you don't have access to public transportation. And they don't stop to think, you know, while they're saying you can't go into a liquor store and buy anything, you know, a lot of times people would go in and grab a bag of chips or something because it was within walking distance. You know, they don't stop to think that here in the breadbasket of America, we live in food deserts out here.
But not liquor deserts.
Well, no. And
I don't
know. Bottle deserts. We could use a few more of those.
I mean, I remember being shocked as a youngster when I left for college out and went out to me. It blew my mind. They sold liquor in the gas station in Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely do. Well, it kind of blew me away when I came here, too, because when I was a kid, all of the liquor stores, like in Iowa, were state-run.
Right. Well, that's kind of the way it used to be here.
Yeah.
And you know, there was one per town.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've never seen anything quite like what I saw in Washington, D.C. There's a liquor store every 200 feet. But, I mean, that's D.C., and it's understandable.
Shit, if I lived in D.C., I'd need a liquor store every 200 feet.
Oh, God. Don't get me started. But it's true. I mean, what is the America? Because I accept the reality of this, but I keep getting kind of stumped on the mental picture of the America that these people want. The one, and this is the 1% and the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson and all these other disgusting billionaires, but it's also their shock troops. They're pawns. And if you sit down long enough, Carol, to try to paint that picture in your own mind of the America that these people yearn for, if I don't know, it's kind of an ugly, terrifying place, isn't it?
Well, because I feel like they've never drawn the picture to its logical conclusion of disease and death and starvation and a really cruel place to live if you're not one of the lucky 1, 2, or 3% or whatever it is that's going to actually be able to survive it. And they don't stop to think that with no one able to purchase any of your goods, I mean, yeah, they've got enough money to live off of for the rest of their lives. That's all fine and well, but I mean,
But somebody has to carry. Somebody has to carry Sheldon Adelson on their backs. Somebody has to carry Chuck and Dave Koch on their backs, because I'm pretty sure Chuck and Dave don't run their own water treatment systems for their own fresh drinking water. I'm pretty sure neither one of them are worth a damn at operating a steamroller to flatten out the bumps in a highway. I'm almost 100% certain that neither of them are a healthcare professional who can draw their blood to find out if the little cancer cells have finally gotten started. And they
have not taken this to the logical conclusion. And that everybody dies in their dream scenario.
I just don't, I guess the part where I kind of, where I fall apart, or where my understanding of the usage of power is concerned, do you reckon the boys in Bentonville give a rat's ass who they sell the Alaskan king crab legs to?
Absolutely they don't.
You reckon they want to sell more Alaskan king crab legs or less?
More. Hell, they even want to sell them to the gays.
Oh, gay crab legs. Well, now, really, they're doing that? They're doing that in Hooterville now? Hmm. Some things begin to become so clear, Carol. And that's, you know, the food retailing business is no small hunk of the American economy.
That's right.
So do the boys in Bentonville just look at it and say, well, look, you know, they can't spend it on steak or tuna. They can spend it on more ramen.
Well, no, I don't think they do feel that way. I think they want to sell everything to everybody.
Well, I mean, I mentioned the boys in Bentonville because they're said to have the most amazing computer-controlled inventory management system on Earth. And so they watch every store, and if every store sells more ramen than crab legs, then they get a shitload of ramen and less crab legs.
That's true.
Well, what happens when the well-heeled when our well-heeled betters can't get all the crab legs they want because the poors have done fucked up the system by eating ramen?
Well, then we'll figure out a way to punish the poors some more.
We'll take ramen off the list. Damn it, that'll show them.
That's it. Now you're getting it. Around here, as long as they can keep their guns and their Bibles, they will vote Republican to the end. Because they're uneducated.
Have there ever been any studies done on the nutritional effects of eating pages of the Bible?
Well, it tastes like shit, but it's filling.
I mean, I gotta figure some of those really thin-paged Bibles. That's got to be rice paper, doesn't it?
Ooh, that's almost rice.
Yeah, see? Yeah, because my joke last night with Angry fell flat about, you know, always carry a mattress and a calendar with you in case you get lost. You know, you can eat the dates from the calendar and drink water from the springs.
I missed it. I fell asleep last night.
I do that to people. Don't apologize.
It wasn't you. Trust me. It wasn't you.
No,
it
but that joke fell so damn flat last night. I had to try it again tonight. I mean, it's simple. It's a chestnut, but it's still fun. I mean, granted, it's not Edward in Dallas telling us the story about here I stand out in the hall watching the roach crawl up the wall, but still, it's a good one.
Not all of my jokes take off. Many, but not all.
Yeah, that one just flopped yesterday. It was terrible. Oh, the humanity! Yeah, right down in flames. But and I've, you know, the Rand, what Rand Paul wants in the, I mean, they. Between him and Ted, they've gone to war with us.
Yes, they have. Oh, did you check out Rand Paul's website?
Did he really misspell educational?
They misspelled education.
Yeah, that was education.
Education.
That's
E-U-C-T-A-T-I-O-N. Education.
Oh, that was that was almost Betty Rubble there, Carol.
I'm sorry. I got a little hysterical when I saw that. He wants to cut how much out of the education budget?
All of it.
Okay, well then. Probably not so many of us will notice that they misspelled education then.
Yeah. And I thought I was being cute when I'd say things like edumacation. No, it's education.
That's almost a word in Kentucky.
It was just, you know, just ask Rand Paul, self-certified ophthalmologist. I'm sure he's also a self-certified spelling expert, and it really is education. And maybe it'll show up in the scripts in Howard Spelling Bee this year.
Could be. I don't know. I've been naming all of the, you know, he's the second of the seven dwarves. I didn't know. I wasn't going to call him Doc because he just plays one.
Right.
And so I was like, flaky?
Cranky?
Well, no, that was McCain.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Bongy, trippy, floppy. Carly Fiorina, she can be bitchy. Lindsay can be swishy.
Marco Rubio, he's next, you know.
Paiush, he can be token.
But Paiush isn't going to announce till late summer, but Marco Rubio is next. So he can be...
Thirsty.
Bingo. And then we'll get Jebby, who will be...
Jose.
Yeah, because he is. I saw that. And that was one that was hanging up above the hoop that was hard not to just, you know, two-handed slam dunk. But, yes.
I just want to see if they're going to put up a candidate who has, you know, upper lip.
Oh God! And Rick Perry is exploring now, He did some sort of a video teaser.
Yes, where he was pretending to be interviewed, except there was no interviewer.
Yeah, that was precious. That could be who could he be among the dwarves?
Who can be what?
Which dwarf can Rick Perry be?
I had a Blinky.
Dippy. Nasty. Nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about the name of his family ranch.
Well, that's true. Well, he has killed more people than anyone. What can we do with that?
Sparky. No.
Sorry, Sparky.
Yes. Yeah. See, I knew that was.
But it is appropriate.
Needles the dwarf.
I don't know. Rance a penis. I mean, Rance Priebus. I never get that name right. Has already stated they're going to start the debate season way later and have a lot fewer of them. They do not want their Democrats to get those sound bites of the stupid things Republicans say.
I don't think Rince Penis gets a choice in that, does he? I mean, who's he going to tell not to run? Rick Perry?
Oh no, he can. They're all going to run. He's going to let them all run.
Oh, just not as oh I just as not as many pageants.
Not as many pageants, and he wants them to start much 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 later because we were just having, you know, by the 17th debate. Where they were talking about let him starve, kill him, hate the gay soldier. I mean, it was just it went from bad to worse.
Legitimately rape the gay baby whales, right?
Yeah, because you know I don't know what were they wearing.
I know. I hope that's not true though.
Well, Paiush, yeah, that's what he said. Paiush wants the Duck Dynasty's son. The oldest boy to be his running mate.
What? Huh?
Oh, he's got some weird fantasy about these Duck Dynasty people. He loves them.
Well, he's got that TV thing. I mean, he calls himself Bobby because he was enamored of the youngest Brady.
Yeah. He'll always be Paiush to me.
And, well... I don't know. I really hope Lindsay will be good for a laugh.
Swishy, sure.
We need a dwarf name for Scott Walker.
I don't know. He's a hard one. I never know which eye to look in with that guy.
Is there really a picture of him? Was that really? I don't know. I saw a photograph the other day. And
of him laying on the Nazi flag wearing a garter belt and a bustier?
Yes, that one. Thank you.
I don't think that's real. I think if it was, it'd be on every network on continuous loop. And I'm irked by it. Okay, if somebody puts it up and says, look, this is a joke and it's funny, that's fine. But when they put it up on my Facebook page and I go, look, we have enough things to make fun of them over without making shit up. I'm not going to be that kind of a
okay.
Progressive.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And they were like, I don't care, it's funny. I want people to think it's real. No.
No, it's kind of like what Charlie Pierce said today about the or within the last couple of days about the whole business of Jebby's voter registration. He said, let's just leave this one alone because the right wing will have enough fun with it as it is, and we can just be above it all. It's tough. But no, I saw that one the other day. I was like, what the? You know, because I spend a lot of time these days feeling like Slim Pickens in Blazing Saddles. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
No, he's married to a Mexican. Maybe he feels like some of it rubbed off. I don't know. I did not jump him about that. I haven't said anything about that. Because in the grand scheme of things, he's so crazy. because he's just.
I've got Scott Walker's dwarf name.
What?
Grifty.
Thrifty?
No, Grifty.
Oh, Grifty. I could go for that.
Or Grafty.
Both are appropriate. Both are correct.
It would be nice if he had another equally crooked. Well, you know, Rand Paul really did set up his self-certifying. Maybe the two of them could be Grifty and Grafty.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm still stuck on his campaign slogan: "Unleash the American Dream." Unless you're a man whose American dream happens to be to marry another man.
Yeah. Release the hoons. No. The whole liberty, that was just offensive. Me and other liberty lovers, because the rest of us who don't think that Rand Paul and that thing on his head are qualified to be dog catcher, let alone senator, and certainly not president, I guess we just hate liberty.
Well, when I hear liberty and tyranny and big government, you know, and I have to stop listening because I know what the ideology is, and it's horseshit. Nobody's had any of their rights taken away. Nobody's had their guns taken away. Nobody has been kept from worshiping any way they want to. It's horseshit. It's this death by a thousand paper cuts. ADHD squirrel American thing that we have going, where everybody has been made to be so afraid of everything. You know, we've got to be afraid of Iran. Well, guess what? The sexist, homophobic, religious nuts in Iran hate Obama's nuke deal as much as the sexist, homophobic, religious nuts in the United States. So, look, there's proof we can get along.
Ours, theirs, tastes great, less filling.
Yeah, the nutbags on both sides. I absolutely agree. It's a shit deal. They have so much in common.
If we could just get them to go and live happily in a little country somewhere until they killed each other off. I know.
I'm thinking somewhere in the Middle East is great. I mean, it's lovely this time here. Of course, I don't get out much, but
they'd get along entirely too well in a place like Hooterville, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but then I'd have to find some place to go, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I really love the view.
Well,
that's a bad thing here.
Well, the sunrise and the sunset there on Lake Hooterville are pretty nice, from what I can tell.
It is, as long as you just don't talk to any of the natives.
Or shoot off your freedom protector and get a chorus of 12 gauge amens from across the lake.
Listen, I live in a state where gun deaths are set to surpass motor vehicle deaths this year.
And meanwhile, here in West Virginia, and you know, this really says something. We have more opiate overdose deaths in West Virginia than they do in New York City. Than they do in Los Angeles. We are the most opiate death state in the union.
And what is the when you drill down to the most base thing, what is the cause of it? Poverty.
Despair. Poverty. I mean, it's pretty plain. It used to be we were a kind of a hard-drinking, hard-smoking, dope-smoking. There was a statistic that there was a statistic about West Virginia once, and some wiseacre poet caught wind of it, and he said something like, West Virginia has the lowest crime and the highest traffic fatality rate in the union. I take that to mean that the roads are crooked and the people are straight. And that's all gone. I mean, this is and has been for a very long time kind of a roughhousing, occasionally downright mean, more often than not liquored up, cigarette smoking, tobacco chewing, and occasionally dope smoking place. But with the devastation to the economy in this state, and the number of people who have been crippled at work, because the only work we have, it seems, is the crippling kind.
Yeah, and you know they're coming after our workman's comp.
Oh, they came after it here. They got it. But they still weren't happy. That's why they came after prevailing wage. And next legislative session, they'll come after the right to organize into unions. I mean, but despair and poverty are at the bottom of it. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because our good friend Jeff Biggers has a brilliant opinion piece over at Al Jazeera's website.
I love that website.
Oh, aren't they good? Well, wait till you read this. Wait till you read this piece about that Jeff has written. He talks about the fact that Barack Obama has said that he wants to put some money toward rejuvenating Appalachia, which I think is damn decent of him, considering the way that most of Appalachia talks about him and votes at him.
True.
But it's a little bit like having a dog that isn't house trained and saying that we're going to pay for somebody to come in and clean up all the poop on the floor. Until you deal with the dog, the dog's not going to stop shitting on the floor, and so you're just going to perpetually be cleaning up shit. And the dog, by the way, that shits on the floor is the coal industry.
Yes.
And until such time as they stop blasting and poisoning and dumping crap in the water and having bomb trains blow up on the way through here, all the rehab money in the world is not going to help. Maybe I'm just negative that way. But it seems a bit not counterproductive, but what, Carol?
Well, it doesn't matter how kind you are to a dog that hates you and continuously bites you and puts fuck you poops at the foot of your bed.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do for them. They're always going to hate you, even if what you're doing is good for the dog.
Yeah, and that's kind of where they are. So I do encourage people. I just put it on my Facebook page and on my Twitter feed, and I encourage people to go to Al Jazeera and read this, because it's a brilliant explanation of where we are now and where we've been and what it's going to take to get us to the next step. And the next step is ending this shit. And you know, we're still, and here's the question, and it's a question that obtains anywhere there's a mono economy, anywhere, well, hey, look, it's anywhere in America that the poor have been shat on, which means pretty much the entire country.
Everywhere.
Even if we fix, wave the magic wand, okay? Everything gets fixed tomorrow. There is still a generation of people who have got to be accounted for. We've talked about this in the past, Carol. You know, we see the unemployment numbers and we go, well, that certainly is helpful. But again, we know that we're not counting a whole bunch of people
who have given up because they've been forced out by attrition,
or they've aged
out of the system.
Yeah,
if you're over 50, fuck you. You're not getting a job.
Right. Which is, you know, kind of a skeptic. Not that I'm climbing up on the cross or anything, but that's one of those things that's scary for me. I mean, if I go out and try to get myself a Wally World job, I'm effed. Or a job at Arby's, because I'll be honest, I don't know if I can turn in. Well, one, they're not going to hire me for 40 hours a week, so there's that.
No.
But I don't know if anybody will hire me for anything, because I'm over 50. And I might actually...
As of over 50, I can assure you it is more than just challenging.
Oh, I have no doubt. It's a pro... And And the thing is, we're not talking about over 50 and I'm not being elitist in any way in saying this. We're not talking about over 50 and undereducated or over 50 and unskilled.
Do I sound undereducated or unskilled?
No, you do not.
Ask me how many jobs I have.
How many jobs do you have?
Three.
What did George Bush say some years ago? That's uniquely American?
And I can't afford insurance?
No, hell no. In the hardest part of winter, you're probably in the same place we are. Damn near impossible to afford heat.
Yes, my heat was a gift from my sister.
Well, you Baker girls are givers.
We are.
But that's skilled and over 50. Unskilled and over 50? What is that?
Die.
That's Alan Grayson territory. Die quickly.
Yeah. If you can't afford anything else, just go get you one of them Freedom Protectors and do the world a favor, thin the herd, you know, because we're such a drag on society.
Now there's another question for you. If this bill that's on the governor's desk in Kansas stand becomes law, you know, he's already signed into law the ability of any God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist Christian, and I guess anybody else, really, to go and get them a Freedom Protector and take it anywhere tucked into the waistband of their pants, or maybe nestled down in the holster of the bra or whatever. If you can only get $25 at a time, it's going to be hard to come up with enough $25 just to go down and get yourself a Freedom Protector, isn't it? Or do we not? Oh, wait. Are we committed to the Second Amendment enough to say that the poor should all have guns too? Or is that something that's only to be entrusted to the well-to-do?
It's probably only to be entrusted to the well-to-do because we all know that the poor are where they are because they've made bad decisions in life, and you know they'll just turn to crime.
You mean like robbing grocery stores?
You know,
food.
Well, yeah, but the good news is if they get caught, well, then they go to one of them private for-profit prisons because, you know, them suckers ain't going to fill themselves.
Oh, you just you said the magic word, prisons. I've had this story sitting around for a little bit, and this just happens to be the exact moment to bring it up. It's a story out of Michigan. And it's the story of a corporation, and I'll bet you've heard of them before, Carol, called Aramark.
Oh, sure.
They're an institutional food provider. They provide foods to hospitals, schools. Oh, look, prisons. And I mean, they're a food vendor.
Yep.
Well, it turns out that the general manager at Aramark, a person by the name of Siegfried Linder, had an email exchange with the Department of Corrections. And Michigan has a prison called the Saginaw Correctional Facility. And, Aramark, it seems, fed garbage to inmates. And, of course, the state of Michigan was billed for actual real food.
Ah.
Mr. Chisholm discarded the leftovers from the line before the last half unit was in the chow hall. He then realized that there were more inmates to serve, so he rinsed them off, reheated them in the oven, and instructed the inmates to serve them. The inmates refused, so he and Miss Gibson proceeded to serve them to the remaining inmates.
Well, they're not people or anything.
No, they're not. I mean, let's not pretend it was actually food either. I mean, we're talking about an actual meal being served to prison inmates, Carol. Mm-hmm. Help me work through this. Food that was previously thrown in the trash, Mr. Chisholm discarded the leftovers from the line for the last half. Okay, so we got to that part. He then realized, so there's more. So, and tell me what, speculate. And, you know, the chat room's welcome, email, what have you. Speculate, if you will. What kind of food are you served in prison that you can rinse off and reheat in the oven? I mean, how do you rinse off a soybean burger Salisbury steak? I mean, do you rinse off a green bean and reheat it in the oven?
I guess.
I mean, I was thinking, okay, maybe the bananas and the apple were through, but they'll hold for a day, won't they, maybe? And, so you rinse off the apples because they were in the trash, and maybe this isn't such a bad story after all. But then you put them in the oven? No, this is just nasty.
To kill the germs? He's trying to kill the germs.
This story is over at Think Progress, and we're ruining somebody's meal right now.
Sorry.
Scott, Linda, always think of you. Up in Massachusetts, they once told me that they always listen to the horn while doing dinner, and I'm forever thinking of them, you know, because I've ruined more. I have ruined more dinners at Scott and Linda's. Here's a paragraph from the Think Progress article. The hockey puck might be handy, Carol. The private Aramark, which services healthcare institutions, universities and school districts, stadiums and arenas, and businesses in 22 countries around the world, has come under fire for serving contaminated food and engaging in gross misconduct in prison facilities statewide in Michigan. Here's the hockey puck part. After maggots and fly larvae were found near a meal serving line, at least 150 inmates were quarantined for symptoms characteristic of the flu. One inmate sued the company for serving spoiled meat and moldy bread. In other instances, the company breached contract by simply failing to provide enough food. According to a Detroit Free Press investigation, one-fifth of Aramark employees were fired for unsanctioned sexual encounters with inmates, tried to sneak in drugs, and showed up to work drunk. Because freedom. Is this more of that free market freedom that Rand Paul is going to unleash?
Absolutely. Because, you see, like the poors, criminals, and in a Venn diagram, those overlap heavily.
Right.
In those private prisons are dehumanized. Like we dehumanize women, especially the pregnant ones, because the only human there is the little fetuses. You know, we dehumanize people who need SNAP benefits. We dehumanize the elderly. We dehumanize the unemployed. Because as long as you can dehumanize them, then you don't have to treat them as, you know, human.
Yeah, which often involves spending money, and God knows libertarians hate to do that, right?
And civil rights, and they're not real big on civil rights.
Let's see. Here's some more Aramark fun. You might enjoy this. Aramark, which has fed inmates, and there are links to all these things for anybody that wants to go and find this over at thinkprogress.org.
Mm-hmm.
Another day, another Aramark. Just look that up. Aramark, which has fed inmates dog food, worms, and scraps of food from old meals, maintains a stronghold on correctional food service in Michigan. Despite threats to terminate its contract, Governor Rick Snyder won't let go of the company, and, well, the company won't let go of him either. I mean, twoo of, you know, which claims it will save taxpayers $12 to $16 million. Prior to hiring Aramark, Michigan refused to partner with private food vendors that could not realistically save the state money in the long run. But see, that's the thing. There used to be, at least within the legalistic jurisprudential construct that's known as the correctional system, and the other construct, again with the Venn diagrams, government.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be this idea that if you're going to take someone's liberty away, Liberty gets up and rolls over and salivates every time I say Liberty. If you're going to take somebody's liberty away, then there are certain minimum standards of conduct that are imposed upon the state because it is the desire of the state to take that liberty away. In other words, everything can't be capital punishment. What? You stole a Twinkie? Woof with their heads! No. And prisoners become what is referred to legally as civil incompetence. They have no rights. They are incompetent by operation of law to look out for themselves. And so rather significant duties were imposed upon the state in taking those liberties away. One of which was to make sure that they didn't, to the best of the state's ability, that people don't get sick and die in prison. Another is to make sure that they don't starve to death. And somewhere in that list of things that should not be allowed to happen to people whose liberties have been deprived is have to eat maggots. Because, again, we can go back to that fundamental analysis in the Constitution that Rand Paul says he's so goddamn fond of about cruel and unusual punishments. And if you were to ask Washington, Jefferson, Adams, because remember, the original intent is everything, the intent of the framers, blah, 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 blah. And if you said, George, tell you what, we've time machined back to you because we want to incarcerate Jim Bob over here because he bumped off a liquor store. What? And well, we want to take his liberty away for 1 to 5. Do you think it would be cruel and unusual if we were to feed him dog food, worms, and scraps of food from old meals and maybe give them flu-like symptoms after maggots and fly... Maggots? Fly larvae? George, would that be cruel and unusual? That's disgusting. Okay, well, as long as it's not cruel and unusual.
Bob, I can assure you that if I laid that scenario out in front of 10 conservatives, all 10 of them would tell me they lost their right to decent food the minute they walked into that liquor store.
God damn it, it's prison. It's not supposed to be fun.
That's right.
Because I don't know if you've seen it, but there are there's a somewhat distressing pair of photographs that are making the rounds on the interweb tubes of Mumia Abu-Jamal then and Mumia now.
Yes, where the Indian who pretended to be black to get into medical school?
No, this is the arguably convicted killer who probably wasn't or was improperly convicted. And he's looking like he's kind of maybe dying of medical neglect in prison.
Well, maybe he should have thought of that before. He's innocent.
Yeah, see? And then there's the guy who sat on death row in Alabama for 30 years.
Yeah, I saw that.
For a murder he did not convict, which, and you know, it didn't require any highfalutin genetic testing. The state of Alabama just would have had to test the damn gun.
Yep.
And they refused because, you know, well, we got ourselves a Negro and we put him in prison, put him on death row, we're going to kill him. That should make everybody happy down here.
I'm telling you, you watch the news here, anytime a crime has been committed, if you watch the 6 o'clock news, the last phrase uttered is, two black men are being sought. And I said this to somebody, and we sat and watched the news together one night, and we got to laughing so hard at it until we realized how unfunny it was. But that is the attitude. We got ourselves a Negro.
Oh, by the way, how did the excavation collapse work out today?
Oh, I haven't heard. I've been listening to you instead of listening to the local newsgasm about the grown baby Jessica.
Five helicopters. I mean, was that true? What I read on your Facebook page, there were five helicopters and one guy with a shovel.
Yes. They got more help out there eventually, but I promise you the five news helicopters got there before the help did.
Jesus. And this is some human being who was buried in a construction site or something?
Yeah, they're doing a ton of... What's happening now is all that fiber optic stuff is going in for AT&T and Google. The whole town is destroyed. It's torn up everywhere. There's probably one, two, three, five hurricane fences around just the property where I work, where they have holes dug. And with the not global warming and the iffy precipitation, a lot of these are sinking. And so you get a guy in one of these holes to start digging and boop, he drops.
And, you know, some of that might have to do also with well drilling, perhaps. I mean, water, because, you know, there's a water crisis. It's not just...
Well, not downtown.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was in a... It was actually... I think it was a sewer main they were working for that they were digging in.
Anybody want to guess what? Anybody want to guess what? Maybe the guy that they're trying to extract was making per hour.
Well, he's a. I don't know if that was a city. No, that would have been a city worker then.
Oh, you mean it might have actually been a decent paying job?
Yeah.
Well, wonders never cease.
Let's see. That was 9 hours ago. There were actually two guys trapped in there, I guess. No, that's not it. No, they must have got him out because I can't find it.
Well, that's good to know. One other thing before we wrap it all up here, because I know this probably is something you're aware of, A, and B, this is someone that you introduced many of us to.
Yes.
That fine, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, family-values Christian, former GOP chairman from South Carolina, Stan, Todd Kincannon.
Oh, he is such a puke.
Well, apparently he's gotten a little pukier. Are you aware of the latest?
I'm almost afraid.
He got hauled off to jail.
There is a dog.
This is breaking news, apparently. And I want people to understand, I'm not celebrating the misfortune of... No.
I am.
Okay. And you know, people's private lives are people's private lives until one of them kind of makes it all public and stuff. So back on March 26th, Ashley Griffith, the wife of Todd Kincannon, and just so you can know who Todd Kincannon is and get an understanding why it is that Carol's celebrating, let's share a few tweets here from Todd Kincannon. The African culture that made Barack Obama is why the Zulus were still putting bones through their noses while Americans walked on the moon. Here's why I'm not racist. African Americans equal great people. African Africans equal savages with AIDS and Ebola. Barack Obama is in category number 2. Racism is wrong. Viciously despising savage cultures is right. I wish more people understood that. And this is a guy who, this is also the same guy who said that people with Ebola should just be executed. Yeah. I mean, there's, and you of course have shared with us some of his other greatest hits. I mean, this guy has been a living, walking, talking, breathing sewer. He's
a nightmare of a human being. That's...
Yeah, and he's got the tweets to prove it.
poor bastard was arrested for showing his wife who's boss.
Let's see. February 4th, 2013. This Super Bowl sucks more dick than adult Trayvon Martin would have for drug money.
Yeah, that Todd Kincannon.
Yeah. So they were just toddling down the highway, and his wife said that, and this was related to the Lexington County, South Carolina sheriff's deputy. She said they have a history of unreported domestic violence, and I mean, this is just really, really, I mean. Apparently, it involved cars, and she was begging him to let him out of the car. He finally pulled over in a, of course, Chick-fil-A parking lot, and grabbed her by the arm to keep her in the car. Well, she finally got a little tired of his, tired of his shit. I have here a segment of just a couple of minutes. I think this is Todd Kincannon threatening, and I don't want for anybody that this is going to be a trigger for or a problem, you might want to tune away for a moment or turn the speakers down or something. But this is what it sounds like when a sociopathic abuser lays down the law.
For doing what you're supposed to fucking do. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't survive in this fucking environment that you create with your bad attitude and your unhappy spirit. I'm sick of it, and I'm done with it. And I want to make very clear to you, I don't give a shit about you or about any shit in your life. I don't give a shit about all your fucking divorce threats. You have pushed me so far down the hole that I don't care anymore. What I'm telling you is, you are going to, by God, make my life better than it is. And you're going to do the only things that you can do to do that. Or else, I'm going to make you very fucking sorry. Because I don't give a shit anymore. You have tried your best to make me not care about our marriage. And I don't. I don't care about our marriage.
Then just let it...
Right now, I care about revenge or curing the problems.
I don't know why you don't just let the relationship dissolve.
Because I blame you for creating the problems, and if the relationship dissolves, I will get my revenge. I wanted something out of this. Unlike you see your college career as just something that happened, and you moved on from it. That's how losers think. That's how failures think. Failures get in a situation, they fail, they just move on, and that's that. They don't give a shit about why they failed or who caused them to fail or anything like that. It doesn't matter to them. That's why they're failures. I'm not wired that way. I got into this marriage with expectations that it would be a thing that it is not. And I'm telling you right now, you will cure that problem, and you will begin to meet my expectations. Or else, you will be very sorry with what happens next. I'm absolutely done dealing with your whiny, hateful, sad, bitchy bullshit. I'm very sorry that your fucking life is so awful that you have to get up in the morning and work like everybody else in America. You wouldn't have to do that if you had spent more than 8 minutes over the course of the past fucking 2 years getting off your ass and helping me take care of some of the stuff in my law firm. You wouldn't have to work at all if you had done just a little bit more than you did. I didn't ask for much. But you didn't do shit for 2 years, and now you have to go get a job where you earn nothing, and you think that's impressive. It's not. Nothing about you is impressive anymore. You impressed me. You don't now. I'm telling you, you can make my life better, or I can make your life worse.
That is, of course, Todd Kincannon former head of the South Carolina GOP, self-described frequently, upholder of traditional American Christian family values. Here is what he says. This is what he did. This is separate and apart from that little diatribe. He physically threatened his wife, Ashley Griffin. And he was arrested today. Yesterday, the 6th of April. And, Carol?
Yes?
You know how the Republicans are forever, and he's one of them, preaching about how we have to be personal, take personal responsibility for our actions?
You mean like blaming cough medicine on your bizarre behavior?
Yeah, here's what he said. He provided a statement. He said, I had a severe upper respiratory infection, and I'm the kind of guy who never goes to the doctor. I finally went and was prescribed something called benzonatate for my cough. I'd never taken it before, and I took it for the first time last night. Basically, I went completely crazy after taking it. I don't even remember all of it. My wife called 911 because she was worried about me and my behavior was way out of character and erratic, and she was afraid for her safety and mine. So that's why she recorded him telling her that she could either make his life better or he'd make her very, very sorry.
Was he on that stuff when he was posting penis pics?
He said he'd never took it before just the other day.
Wow.
Now, here's the fun thing. I think benzonatate is what is commonly referred to in prescription circles as Teslon pearls. I've had it prescribed for me. I didn't take it. I tried it once, and it was highly ineffective, and I figured, why bother? But I went and I looked up benzonatate, and I found the following side effects: drowsiness, dizziness, headache, stomach upset, constipation, and stuffy nose may occur. If any of these effects persist or worsen, notify your doctor or pharmacist promptly. Remember that your doctor has prescribed this medication because he or she has judged that the benefit to you is greater than the risk of side effects. Many people using this medication do not have serious side effects. Tell your doctor immediately, though, if any of these unlikely but serious side effects occur: mental mood changes, loss of feeling in the chest, burning in the eyes. Okay, so...
Todd experienced loss of feeling in the chest a long time ago.
Well, see, yeah, there's that. But he's also a lawyer, even if he might not be a very good one. And he knew enough to read up on the side effects. I had mental mood changes. I bet he's probably already filed the lawsuit against the maker of benzonatate.
Count on it.
But this guy is a real
toxic cesspool.
Yeah. And now we find out that he treats treats people in his immediate life about the same way he tweets.
Mm-hmm.
He's referred to as Trayvon Martin Clairvoyant, ethics-free attorney, and avid penis self-photographer. There is no way to make me click a link that says avid penis self-photographer, or no, sorry.
I took one for the team on that one.
Oh, did we? Did you?
Yes.
Was there eye bleach immediately afterward?
I was underwhelmed.
Let's see. The protocol for a positive Ebola test should be immediate humane execution and sanitization of the whole area. That will save lives. People with Ebola in the U.S. need to be humanely put down immediately. Ebola has a strong transmission vector through healthcare personnel. No effective way to contain while treating. And then there's just no other way with Ebola. We need to be napalming villages from the air right now. This is... And there's more and more and more of this stuff. But, because the goddess of irony, you know, she didn't sleep. And so there.
Well, all I got to say about Todd Kincannon's junk is I've seen better on newborns.
Oh! She shoots, she scores. But this is... This is so typical.
Well, what about that? Didn't you hear about the anti-gay politician that just got outed for being a former drag queen?
Isn't he also from South Carolina?
I was going to say, I thought he was a South Carolina one, too.
Drag queen first name was Mona something.
Miss Mona?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what his name was, and I'm...
Those wide stances will get you every time.
Every time. And, of course, he's changed. You know, the things he did in his youthful indiscretions, he's changed. He really hates the gays, so vote for me. He'll be reelected.
Well, I mean, I don't think... Miss Mona, maybe, yeah. Mercifully, Todd Kincannon isn't in any sort of office, is he?
No, I know.
I know. But, you know, they walk among us. Beats me.
And breed.
And just, I mean, what kind of struck me about that audio is, you know, he's not screaming. He's not ranting and raving. He is displaying the calm, cool demeanor of a sociopath. And I have no doubt that he absolutely, well, apparently he has made that poor woman's life a living hell.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, oh God, I hope she sticks to her convictions and follows it through and makes the world a better place for the absence of Todd Kincannon from polite society.
Speaking of South Carolina, there's one more.
Oh no.
North Charleston officer who previously claimed that he shot and killed a suspect in self-defense just got charged with murder. A newly surfaced video showed the guy running away from the patrolman, got pulled over for a broken taillight or something, tried to flee the scene before trying to reach for the officer's taser, supposedly, and... the officer shot him 3 times in the back while he was running away. So, this one was pretty irrefutable.
Do you think that, well, I mean, will they...
He's been charged. Now, whether or not it ever goes to trial or, I mean, hell, knowing him, he'll be the chief of police in 5 years, but... I mean, but there's video out there on Think Progress of the guy being murdered. And, I mean, he was, like, good 15, 20 yards away before the first shot hit him.
Jesus. Of course, remember, we have a sitting member of the Supreme Court of the United States who wrote a circuit court opinion once saying that that was completely okay.
I know.
So, just to be sure about all that. Well, Carol, it's been a lovely conversation, and I appreciate it. Thank you for responding to my conjuring.
Now, all we need is Diane, and we got a full night.
Yeah, of course, that may be too much, just in light of, If I lived in Kansas, I would be screaming.
Well, like I said...
Hell, I don't, and I think I screamed a little bit in the first hour.
It just bleeds over here. It's like they try to out batshit crazy each other. If whatever Kansas does, Missouri races to see whatever they can do to do like that, but make it worse.
Oh, it's the Alabama-Mississippi syndrome. If Alabama passes a law that says we have to protect the fetuses at 20 weeks, Mississippi will pass one that says we gotta protect them at 19. And then it turns into a downward bidding war between the two legislatures.
And now you understand why I'm in the witness protection program.
Indeed, I do.
Indeed.
Carol Baker, have a lovely evening out there at Lake Hooterville.
You too, sir, and I'll be listening in for the rest of the evening.
All right, sounds grand. Talk to you soon.
Take care, my friend.
Bye now. News Ninja Carol Baker from the shores of beautiful Lake Hooterville. We'll take a little break now, 17 minutes past the hour. You know, we try to raise $150 every evening. Thanks to Nancy earlier today, that's only $125. And that's where we still stand, $125 to raise on the evening. And we've got, 43 minutes to do it in. Can we do it? I don't know. Let's find out. If you want to get in on the conversation, both lines are open, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-HORN. Hey, Todd Kincannon. It's a long-distance dedication coming at you from the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're
Michael and Madison and I had the same idea at the same time as far as bumpers are concerned. Yeah, Talking Heads, Psycho Killer. It just seems like, well, it worked. Thank you for the suggestion, Michael. It is 21 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. We've got someone on the line. I think we've got Jim in Louisiana Stan on the Gizmo line, and we will go there in just a moment. Just a quick couple of notes, though. Wait, where'd it go? thank you. Michael and Madison also pointed out, Bob, please cowbell yourself for Grifty, Scott Walker's dwarf name. I don't know if hosts are eligible to award themselves a toaster, but assuming they're not, I motion that the restriction be temporarily lifted in this instance. Well, I think we're going to call that consensus. In terms of the right-wing dwarves running for the GOP nomination, Scott Walker shall henceforth be Grifty the Dwarf. Yes. Mm-hmm. Note coming in from Greg in Iowa. I'm a loyal listener and sometimes financial contributor. America and RuPaul, what? Are full of shit. Just today, my 75-year-old father, who is a part-time security guard for a company... Wait a minute. See, that there's I read a sentence like that, and I go... Just today, my 75-year-old father, who is a part-time security guard for a company that supplies guards to the Springfield, Illinois bus system, was told that he and his fellow guards are being transferred to another management company because his old employer's contract was being canceled. The guard's work is acceptable and continues as before, but the new management company said they might dock the guards 50 cents an hour while they're on probation with them, even though the bus company likes their work. The guards were also told that they were to pay for their own shirts for the first time and that they must be pepper sprayed and tased to understand the experience and carry the same. My father works the oddest hours and drives 85 miles round trip for the pleasure. God bless freedom. There's an open question as to, I mean, if you're 75 and you're working a security guard job, and I don't want to be insulting here, but, well, if you're 75, haven't you earned something through the course of carrying this country on your back for most of those 75 years? But to continue, as far as government is concerned, Greg writes, I work for a state of Iowa educational system. Remember, I do Mac desktop support on over 900 Macs. We waste money. We waste taxpayer money. We pass new solid-state hard drive laptops, cellular iPads, cell cards, and software out like candy. My boss comes to work when he wants. I have a collection of over 20. I'm working from home today. It's wintry out. I'm working from home today. Emails from my boss. He comes in at 9 or 9:30 a.m. He recently fell asleep three times while a group of people were interviewed for a tech job. Many people make $65,000 to $106,000 per year while working from home. Wow, those little ads on the websites are true. The Heartland Area Education Agency is an embarrassment, and it's funded by taxes. And see, that's the thing. When there are problems in situations like this, I'm one of those people who believes in solving them, not, as Rand Paul advocates, getting rid of them altogether. I don't throw babies out with bathwater. Rand Paul apparently tries to find a couple of extra kids to put in the bath before he starts chucking. A little bit of a difference there. Also, coming in from Linares via Facebook, talking about the cruel, the essential cruelty that is America now. Linares says Tennessee ain't far behind. After shooting down the Medicaid expansion, the legislature turns right around and exempts the Capitol building from the open carry laws they passed. So they add insult to injury by throwing the public to the wolves twice while being protected in their fortress, while we have to deal with the crazies that can carry in state parks with kids around. Some wonderful folks here in Tennessee, Stan.
And that's par for the course. I mean, hypocrisy comes with the GOP card, because isn't the NRA getting ready to have its annual clavern, and haven't they declared that no functional firearms will be allowed in their convention? Yeah. I mean, freedom, right? Yeah. Marty pointing out, security guard at 75, God bless, freedom, calls for a Wolverines! Wow, you guys are generous this evening. I get a Wolverines, a cowbell, and a toaster. Jack in Shreveport saying, are you telling me that a 75-year-old man would have to be tased to keep his job? Yes! Yes! A 75-year-old man who works part-time as a security guard is, because new management has moved into town, going to have to be tased and pepper-sprayed in order to keep his security guard job for a bus company. Yeah. Is that, in fact, you, Jim, in Louisiana, Stan?
Yes, it is, Bob. How are you doing?
How in the world are you?
That America, you and me.
Ain't that America, baby? America. Land of the free.
Yeah, exactly, man. And fantastic Talking Head song. One of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too. And so apropos of the moment.
Hold on a second. No, I'll be off in a sec. Couple minutes.
Life. Don't worry about it.
I saw them four times in concert, four of the greatest shows, and then saw David Byrne live by himself in Vegas. And fantastic.
I never saw him. It must have been amazing.
Yeah. I just started listening about 5-10 minutes ago.
Oh, you missed a bunch of fun.
Oh, I'm gonna catch three broad, but one of the reasons I just decided to call out of blue was I'm moving up to Colorado, to Denver.
Are you really?
Yeah.
When's this gonna happen?
Next Wednesday.
Wow, that's kind of quick.
I booked a flight before.
Wow, you got digs all lined up and?
No, I'm gonna figure that out. I'm kind of that Rolling Stones like mode. I have to use song analogies. Yeah, I gotta move. I can't take it here in Louisiana, Stan, anymore. You know. I'm sure Colorado has its ups and downs and.
No, but I have a feeling the Hornedanista contingent in Louisiana, Stan, is nodding their heads and going, yeah, I understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, believe it or not, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 55. I figure I got 15, 20 years left, maybe a little bit more, if the planet lasts that long. And just got to do it. Got a little window of opportunity to do it, and I feel. And, of course, my lawyer, one of my conservative corporate lawyer, thinks I'm a total, fucking asshole, and I'm just going to fail, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's just more reason to go out there and prove him wrong.
Well, you know what? There might actually be a functioning economy up there, and While I won't dare to speak for any member of the Horn Family Commune congregation, I'll bet you if you need any advice or turn left on Main or that kind of stuff, the Horn Family Commune congregation Colorado chapter will be more than happy to assist.
Well, that's good to hear. I just feel I got to do it. You know, it's just. I just really can't. I'm embarrassed living in this goddamn state. I'm embarrassed living in the goddamn South, this whole region. You know, and you're just barely even part of it, but
Exponentially?
Exponentially gets worse, I think, in my esteemed opinion. I mean, look who you got. Bobby freaking Jindal is governor. And I've only been here 2 years. 2 years too long. And I don't know who they're going to elect next. I have no idea. And, I mean, it's just like with Mary Landrieu. She's no prize, but then they end up electing a Republican? You know.
Well, I mean, it's not like she was far from being one herself. But
I know, but she could at least pretend.
Yeah. Well, and the Shreveport chapter just reported in, subject line in the note, Jim from Louisiana stands move. Jack in Shreveport says, recall, I used to live in Colorado and moved to Louisiana. I had to move. I like the weather better. So, sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander.
I've heard that. I've lived in Washington State. I'll see what happens. But I'm 55, and I got a couple of adventures left, and I just decided I just got to do this. I'm kind of looking at just, well, you said it. Well, no, because it's weird because I've been watching on the Weather Channel, and it still goes down freezing, which blows my mind.
Oh, yeah, you're going to want some cold weather gear.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's a clarification. Jack in Shreveport said, I like the weather better in Colorado. You know,
what's that?
Jack says he says it, he wasn't clear that he liked the weather better in Colorado. So maybe you got something to look forward to.
Okay. Well, you have the humidity and the. I'm sure there's a lot of stupidity to go out. Well, what's his name?
Yeah, but you can medicate the stupidity in Colorado. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but that's where your boy, Colonel Klink.
Oh, Chappie Klingenschmidt?
Chappie Klingenschmidt.
Yeah, just don't go to, Kevin is holding down the fort in Colorado Springs. Don't go there.
Okay. Well, no. That's why I'm sticking to the big city. Plus, since Jesus gave me not one but two brain aneurysms and made me partially blind and epileptic, phenobarbital controls the epilepsy. Jesus hasn't laid his hands on me and cured the blindness. But it's interesting, I saw a great video last night. I wish I could remember who it was, man. He just totally chopped down the whole whether even Jesus existed myth. It was so incredible. It's interesting, you know. You don't hear people talk about it. That's why you got to go on the internet to hear that.
Well, yeah, you kind of do. I mean, let's understand. Yeshua wasn't exactly an uncommon name in 1 CE or, 3 BCE Palestine.
Right.
Every other kid was named Yeshua.
So like Jeff.
So, there's plenty of them.
In fact, I remember one of the big hits back then was, hey, Azur, where are you going with that shoe in your hand?
Well, the two aneurysms didn't slow down your sense of humor, Jim.
Well, I think it kind of intensified it, but... Yeah, so that's what they call me crazy, but I think I'm the airplane ticket.
Well, what you got to do is stay in contact.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do that. And try and find some sort of part-time job that fits in with my disability thing. I got to figure all that shit out. But I got a little money saved up, so it's just like... I'm going with it. Yeah. Does that sound crazy?
I'm not going to tell you are. I mean, believe you me, I occasionally get the walking blues here in Appalachistan, and I wouldn't be the first to do it. Agnes and I sit around talking about, you know, wouldn't it be nice to go somewhere, and we look at each other, normal, just for a little while, and then come back to this.
All right, well, I think I've talked you out and let you go.
All right, well, hang in there. If somebody needs you, you know, go and attend to present issues. But, again, stay in touch, and we will talk soon, I hope, Jim.
Probably within a day or two or a week or two. Well, I'm not leaving until Wednesday, so, yeah, next Wednesday.
Oh, leaving on prayer meeting Wednesday, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, you take care, my friend. Be well.
All right.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim getting ready to hit the road. And over to the Skype line where Larry in Berkeley awaits. Hey, Larry.
Hi. You know, and I was going to sit here and complain. anyway, I hope Jim has a better experience or has at least a fairly long stretch of better luck in Colorado. I really do. And from what it sounds like, what's going on in the rest of the country, I hope he does. My complaint this time that I'm calling is about Medicare. And I had a long conversation with Carol from Australia about it yesterday. But what I'm finding is that, you know, I'm a person who relies on durable medical equipment in order to be able to get around, in order to be able to function. And Medicare has started to require that every time that I need a repair, that I have to go to a doctor and have a face-to-face meeting, even if I need supplies for my CPAP machine or whatever, my wheelchair or whatever, any kind of durable medical equipment. And they know that I have a disability, and they know that it's not going to change, but yet they still need to have a face-to-face with a doctor.
Wait, wait, wait. Do you really get a face? I'm just curious. Do you really get a face-to-face with a doctor, or do you get a face-to-face with not a doctor?
You get a face-to-face with either a doctor or a physician's assistant.
Yeah, okay.
Who, in California, I mean,
I refer to those as not a doctors.
Well, you know, I know that in...
And I probably am offending somebody by saying that. I don't mean to, but I mean, but I'm reflecting my own reality. If I have to get my meds re-upped or whatever, I have to go down to the not a doctor.
Yeah, that's what happens. And I normally see a physician's assistant, but they have to document all this stuff every time. And I know that they are worried about fraud. I know that people defraud the government, but the amount of money
but wait, Larry, sure, they do worry about fraud, but the people who defraud, this is kind of like voter fraud. The people who defraud the government are not people who are going to get their mobility chair seat repaired. The people who defraud the government are the massive, and I'm echoing for some reason or another here.
I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay.
Should I move the iPad or something? Is there anything I can do?
I got no answer. But maybe okay. maybe it'll clear up. But the thing is, the people who are defrauding Medicare aren't individuals who are just trying to go and get their needs met. This is what pisses me off. The people who are defrauding Medicare are the great big humongous corporations who are running monumental scams. And the thing is, there is a clear and followable history of Medicare fraud perpetrated by healthcare institutions, corporations, and the like. And I mean, I'm hard pressed, Larry, to imagine that there's somebody with special needs out there in America who is running a wheelchair lug nut scam.
Well, they're not saying that I'm doing it or that anybody who...
No, you just have to do it because other people do, and we've just got to keep an eye on the system, and we got to be cost-effective. And but let me explain to you, Larry, you know what all of this is down at its bottom level?
Cost containment.
No. This is anti-system hostility. If you can't kill, if there's something you hate, and you can't kill it outright, what you'll do is you will, and the right wing uses this term all the time, starve the beast. Or as Grover Norquist said shortly before before Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, you will weaken it until you can drown it in a bathtub. That's what he said about government. He wanted to make government so small that you could drown it in a bathtub. And that's the approach. Understand, when Medicare was passed under the LBJ administration, every Republican in America screamed that it was going to bankrupt the country. Okay? And it's the same thing. You know, when Social Security was passed in the 30s, every Republican in America said, oh, it's going to bankrupt the country. And, of course, I have to give Republicans a Southern accent, even though most of them didn't have them back then, because
that's, right.
I mean, that's the attitude that prevails. And so since if they could have in the 30s or in the 1960s, a Republican would have crept in, as Carl Sandburg said, on little cat feet, and slit the throat of Medicare in its crib. But
well,
they couldn't. So what they could do instead was continually pass laws call it things like, we're being responsible to the taxpayers, and we're containing costs. You know what? If we were doing cost containments, they wouldn't be running goddamn catheter ads in between basketball games.
Well, the thing is that my wheelchair repair place, and we're lucky in Berkeley because we have a place that does wheelchair repair, because we have had in the past a large population of people who use chairs to ambulate around the city, and thank God that they've had a city to amble around in. But they say that in 2016 there are going to be even more cuts that Medicare is going to foist on the provider, and by extension foist on the consumer, that they're not even going to pay for. So there, you know, so this happens every year, and
it's death by a thousand cuts.
That's exactly right. So the point is, and I talked with the person there, and she said, well, when we talk to our customer, the people that were our clients, or well, that's a bad term, as you mentioned, the people that come to us for help, they shrug their shoulders or shrug whatever they could shrug and say, well, it seems like it's too much trouble. But Medicare says, well, things would change if the beneficiaries, and I'm considered a beneficiary, if people like me would complain. But when people like me complain, the legislators in the states and the legislators in the federal government sit there and listen politely. And they may even empathize with us, and the Democrats will come out and give great speeches about how they support us, and they'll get big rallies and all that. And then in the end, the few people that really do make the decisions, up in wherever they make decisions, in my case, it's Sacramento, or in your case, it's, wherever it is, or Washington, D.C., then they end up, it's as if the work that we did, That's why activists, and there are still some activists that believe in the activist tradition of working within the system. But when I talk to people like Lottie Bob, and talk to other people on the chat, they will say, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And then ultimately what's going to happen is people will get to the point where they've had enough, and then you'll see some changes. We hope. But, all the people in states, you tried to explain to me on Friday. You've also explained to me that if I go up there, and at least if I'm one person up there fighting for this stuff, whether or not anything gets done, at least I was one person up there that made the effort.
Absolutely. And I'm not in favor of the pessimism that just says they're going to kill it, because that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy rather quickly. Although I'll also say that if they get their way, what they will do is they will subject these programs that benefit people who aren't fabulously wealthy, because, see, fabulously wealthy people don't have to go to the goddamn doctor to get the lug nuts changed on their power chair, okay? They don't.
But if they can get their way,
eventually they will kill the whole program, and then they'll say, see, we told you it was a failure.
Yeah, because they made it fail.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I've got a note here from our dear friend Robert in Australia, and I always kind of cherish these things because it's a different perspective on something that many of us often go through. Under the subject line, not a doctor, Robert in Australia says simply, "I've never heard of going to see the doctor and not seeing an actual doctor. That's just weird." No. That's healthcare in America, where we pass a thing and then we let the Republicans determine how it's going to work. So consequently, there's no kindly old family doctor down here. There's a nurse practitioner and a physician's assistant, and that's not to say that they're bad people, except for the fact that they routinely allow things like political screeds on the walls of their examining rooms, and you can't walk into the damn place without seeing Fox freaking News, which can't be good for anybody. And I say the same thing about CNN, MSNBC, Bloomberg, CNBC, whatever. The news is not a good thing to have on in a doctor's waiting room, just saying. The way it's approached is, you know, we've got to have cost containment. You know, bullshit. We need to have health maintenance. I mean, here's a simple question. If you go to the doctor, and I bet in a few days I'll be able to get a straight-up answer to this question. If you go to the doctor in Cuba, which, by the way, has a radically more accessible health care system than we here do in the greatest country in the world. If you go to the doctor in Cuba, I will bet you a Cuban cigar, Larry, that you see a doctor. And we're already being told by Robert in Australia that if you go to the doctor in Australia, you get to see a doctor. But we've got this is a multifaceted problem. I want to be clear. It is hard to become a doctor in the United States. It is made harder than it needs to be by the American Medical Association, who is keeping a death grip on the number of doctors we can have in this country. So if you want to go to medical school, you've got to have a 4.0, and you've got to have awesome standardized test scores. And even though you're never going to freaking use it, you've got to have, you know, one of those 4.0s you've got to have is in goddamn calculus, okay? And you know what? If you want to go to medical school and you take a 200-level Shakespeare class, by God, you'd better have an A+ in Shakespeare too.
Yep.
And so it's incredibly difficult to get into medical school. On the other hand, you want to be a PA? That's a 5-year degree program. You want to be a nurse practitioner? That's your RN plus whatever the nurse practitioner curriculum is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you can do if you're a doctor who's running an actual health clinic in a place like West Virginia, you're getting massive amounts of subsidies via Medicare and Medicaid, okay?
Uh-huh.
And instead of hiring another doctor to sit in your clinic, because capitalism, what you do is you hire a couple of CNPs and PAs, whom I refer to callously as not a doctors, and you pay them a third of the money you would pay a doctor, and you bill Medicaid for a goddamned doctor's office call. And the next thing you know, the doctor who's administering the whole thing is pricing the new blue Buicks.
Yeah, well, because, you know, the doctor...
Because it's not about health care delivery, Larry. It is about money.
Yeah,
because
in my office,
money.
Yeah, and you know, my office is affiliated now. It used to be independent, but now it's affiliated with Stanford Lucile Packard Children's Hospitals. You know, Stanford University. So, you know, they're affiliated with Stanford. I don't know what benefits, what, how that works and how it benefits them to be affiliated with Stanford Lucile Packard Children's Hospital, but they're mostly pediatric doctors, and he's got himself and another doctor in there who I haven't met, and the doctors change, the turnover for doctors is, you have no idea, but he's got four PAs that consistently, you know, are in there from Samuel Merritt and other places. That's a pretty good place. The thing is that, you know, so, you know, he's got those. And, you know, where Devin is in Philippi, they have Alderson Brodus, who apparently has one of the best physician's assistant schools in the entire country, or one of the only. I'm not sure. I don't know, because I don't live there. But it's, you know, but, you know, I'm just... It's just, it's, you know, it's hard for me to complain about, it's hard for me to complain about my situation here in California, especially when I don't really know what other people have to face in other states. I don't know whether it's because what the woman was telling me, I know you have to go in 2 minutes. But the woman was telling me that I was talking with, she said 5 or 10 years ago, you guys could get anything you wanted, and now they're just lowering the Medicare coverage to what the other states have gotten all this time, and California's being, what do they call it? It's a race to the bottom, or the care is being leveled.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
Understand. You remember when we had the debate about the Affordable Care Act, and Godzilla from Wasilla came out and said, "Hulu death panels."
Yes, I remember.
Well, there aren't, except for the fact that the Republicans would like for there to be. And since they can't just have death panels outright, what they'll do is they will put accountants in charge of the delivery of medical care who will then kill it by 1,000 cuts. Again, because money, because capitalism. And one of the things that scares me, quite frankly, Larry, is that if we ever do get universal single-payer health care, it's probably going to look like this unless there is some sort of radical paradigm shift in this country.
That's exactly right. And I know it's about time to end, I want you to be able to make sure you get some money at the end of the program and all that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think that horse has left the barn.
But you know, I mean, you know, I wish that I could talk with you or talk with people in the chat room at some point and be able to say, you know something, this is pretty damn good. life is okay. You know, it's
right.
It's all right. You know, I don't have to sit and I don't have to spend the rest of my life complaining about how much better it could be. But when I look at it, it looks like with all the money that we have in this country that we could invest, we could provide jobs for people and provide care for people, people just don't understand, or that's enough.
No, I get it. Well, Larry, thank you for the conversation.
You.
It was actually a rousing and uplifting end of the program.
Yeah, well, I hope everybody else in the chat room and everybody else listening got something out of it too, rather than just
I don't think you were just griping, and you know, at ground level, I hope you get the stuff fixed that needs fixed.
It'll get done. I'll just have to go through a big rigmarole.
Right, you'll have to waste more of your finite life than reasonably should be wasted in dealing with an otherwise simple problem.
That's exactly right. That's what I want the chat room to understand, and that's what I want people to understand who are listening to the program as well. Okay?
Exactly. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Bye now. Have a good evening. Our buddy Larry, calling from the Bay Area, from Berkeley to be more specific. It is time to get the heck out of here. I hope you've enjoyed this Titanic Tuesday as much as have I. We've been kind of all over the place. Thank you for the calls. And any calls that we didn't get to, well, by golly, we'll try to get them on prayer meeting Wednesday. Is that fair? We'll just fire it up and start it all over again tomorrow evening. And I will note that when we start the program tomorrow evening, we will have a fundraising goal of $275 tomorrow. We close this evening at zero. But that's going to happen from time to time, and I guess that's okay. Thanks to all of you for the finite time that you spend, the precious finite time that you spend sharing in this community's conversation. Thank you. I can never thank you enough. Thank you to those of you who do financially support the program. It couldn't happen without you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben took extra time and fixed Dr. Bill's archive feed, so that's back up and running properly. I hope you will avail yourself of it. He has been on fire of late, and he'll be back around at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org. And yes, always, 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 Gina. It's all for you.